He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love.
Thank you, Brother Brian, for such a nice opening announcement of myself. And some might feel like I've been here a long time. And I know a couple of years ago when I became so ill and went to the bottom of the heap as far as health-wise was concerned, there's a little sister up in Green River, Wyoming. She says, "No, not to Marvin. I just thought he was always going to be here when I needed him." And so I do have a great desire, though, to help people. And I'm confident that the Lord has blessed me in my desire, because I'm very sympathetic to the needs of people. And when I was preparing this sermon, it seemed like when Brother Surratt called me, one day I thought I'd never get outlined. And I prepared a sermon. After I arrived here last Sunday, I prepared another. So I guess evidently that wasn't the one I should deliver. And so anyway, I've been concerned about all of our people. I'm concerned about the day in which you and I live. And especially concerned over those who have set aside a day when Christ should come. And we know there are some who have set aside such a day, and it already has passed and he didn't come. There's others claiming that they are the Christ. Many years ago, Jesus Christ had this to say, and a lot of my sermon today is going to dwell upon the day of the Lord. And I want us to think upon it, because each one of us here, young and old alike, have got a responsibility to prepare ourselves. Whether we're here at the day of the coming of the Lord, or we should leave this world before then, we got a duty to prepare ourselves. But I want you to know, And I think you're aware that the days are changing. All we have to do is open our eyes. And I want to dwell upon some of those things today. The disciples of Jesus come to him and ask him a question. And this is found in Matthew 24:3. And I'm only going to read a part of it. But before this is finished today, I'm going to dwell quite a bit upon Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and some of the Book of Mormon and several other scriptures. And I want us to note. And this, I'm only going to read a part of this. And it says, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And there's a lot more I want to bring out. But first, I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians. And it's found in the 5th chapter. And I would like to read verse 1 through 3. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you," as he wrote these people of Thessalonica years ago. And it's to us today as well, who are believers in Jesus Christ. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh, how? As a thief in the night, when least expected. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And we hear quite a cry for peace today. Some thinking they might be able to attain peace. But this scripture is applicable today. But this one here coming as a thief in the night. Now I'd like you to turn back to that 24th chapter in Matthew again. And I would just like to pick up a few verses out of it pertaining to this. And it's in verses 42 through 44. "Watch, therefore," and that's a thing I want to stress, "be alert, watchful, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." No one here knows. "But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." And isn't that true? If you knew tonight at 1:30 that a guy was going to break into your house, would you be sleeping? Would anybody in here be sleeping? No. You'd probably be waiting there, and I don't know. He might wish you had to been asleep, you know. Who knows what you might do? But he comes when you don't expect it. Like the cat burglars? They just love to go around and steal everybody's things while they're sleeping. It gives them an ego trip, maybe. But let's read on. "Therefore," Christ said, "be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So let's look into a few of the things now at this time that might apply to this important verse. I would like to turn over to Luke 21. 34 and 35. And Jesus Christ said, "And take heed to yourselves." He would, if he were here, he would point the finger at every one of us. "Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting," which is excesses. And certainly in the United States of America, there's a lot of excesses. Drunkenness, there's a lot of that. "And the cares of this life." And I've had cause to say before, and I'll say it again, the cares of this life are affecting every one of us to some degree, some more and some less. And of course, we know we're a part of this life. We can't get away from them all. But it says, don't let your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. And here it says how it should come. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now we know what a snare is. In times of old they used to set a snare in the woods to catch an animal. And now let me tell you, if that animal could have seen it was there, he wouldn't have stepped in it. But it's so cleverly concealed that he was caught. And so this is what Jesus Christ is saying. Be alert. Be aware. Don't let the cares of this life overtake you and the excesses that are ever about us. We've got a more important mission here. And that's each one of us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as the Apostle Paul said. It is important that we use today wisely. If we use today wisely, and we would have to leave this world, we could be with Christ and God in eternity. That's why we're here. This gathering of people here, it isn't just by a chance. We want to work out our salvation. And a part of the trials and the distress of this life is a part of enduring to the end. And you know, I used to think all the things I had to endure to the end was all these different things that's coming from, they said, from the heavens above and the earth beneath, and the wars and the rumors of wars, and all these things I had to endure. But little did I realize, I'd always been a person that was active and had a lot of energy, and at the end of the day, that's when I was my best. When a lot of people are winding down, I just had hours left at full steam. And all of a sudden, Marvin melted, and I found out, why? I found a few other things I got to endure. And there's some health problems that I probably will endure to the end. The Apostle Paul one time prayed several times to get rid of some of his problems. He was left with them. But he was happy to have them. He was a man that gloried in tribulation because it worked patience in him. So maybe I need some patience. Maybe we all need some. Maybe we all need a bunch of it, maybe I should say. Well, anyway, this end will come as a snare. And I would like us to turn now to Matthew 24. And this is found in verses 32 through 34. And I've chosen to just take different ones of these and kind of tie it together today. I'm not going to read it in this chronological order, because I feel this way is more effective. Now, there's a lot of people would like to know when this time is. So I'm going to read it right out of the scripture. Matthew 24, 32. And Christ so often spoke to the people in parables. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And you know, being an old fruit grower like I am, you know, for many years I've been around fruit. And so I know when I see those tender shoots coming out, boy, summer's going to be right away. And these things are going to be blooming and they're going to bear fruit. I know that. And every little kid learns this. When you see the tulips coming up, you know spring's coming. A few more things, you know summer is nigh. But he was giving us an example in 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What is he talking about, all these things? Now, I'm not going to read them all today, but the first part of this 24th chapter of things that will take place. So when you see all these things take place. Know that it is near, even at your doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, when that takes place, shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now I would like to turn back to the first part of the 24th chapter of Matthew. In verse 4 and 5, one of the things that Jesus raised a warning, and I want every one of us here, young and old alike, to be alert to this. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. And there is deception in our world today. Those claiming to be the Christ, those setting aside a time for his coming, those proclaiming different doctrines and the philosophies of men, there is deception in the world today. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And to me, that might have a twofold meaning, but I think the main one is this. There will be many today proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. He is the one you gotta follow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But all you have to do is turn over to the 14th chapter of John and the 15th verse, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're in these scriptures. So along with that believing, to me, believing means you're willing to do this. And there is other ways taught today, even by theologians. So deception is a thing we got to ever be aware of. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And why will they be able to deceive many? Because they'll look like the real thing. Down to verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall shew what? Great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Great signs and wonders will be shown. We need the spirit of discernment in our midst at all times. There is a prominent evangelist today, and in the eyes of the world, a very successful evangelist in Korea. And most of you probably know who I mean. But anyway, this evangelist has proclaimed messiahship. I have the information with me. He has claimed messiahship. But we know that at this hour, no one knows. And it said false Christ will come and shall deceive many. There was one of old. His name was Korihor. In the 16th chapter of the book of Alma, is found on page 415. I would just like to touch a bit upon this person of old because he was deceived. And I want us to think upon that. I'm going to use verses 66 through about 69. But first I want to give a little of the background of this person, Korihor. And Alma had talked to him. And he says, I do not believe there is a God. And he was adamant in it. He was very forceful. He did not believe there was a God. And he says, unless you show me a sign, I won't believe there's a God. And so Alma caused dumbness to come upon this man. He could no longer speak. And then going to verse 66... when he no longer could speak. And I want you to notice this. Here was a person that was deceived by the spirit of the devil. Clever deceit. And Korihor put forth his hand in verse 66 and wrote, saying, I know that I am dumb. Now, he didn't have to have anybody tell him that. He didn't have to have any more signs. He couldn't talk. And I'll tell you what, if this happened to any one of us, we would know that we were dumb too. We couldn't talk anymore. Well, anyway, for I cannot speak, and I know that nothing, save it were the power of God, could bring this upon me. So now, God is entering the picture. Why, nothing but the power of God could do this to me. And then I want you to notice here, and also, I also knew that there was a God. Now, isn't this sad? Here was a man, his memory is really getting a lot better now. First, he denied that there was any such person as a God. And then he become dumb. Well, yeah, nothing but the power of God could do this. And then he says, I knew there was a God. One time he knew there was a God. So remember that. But the deceptor, the devil, came and deceived him. But behold, the devil hath deceived me, for he appeared unto me in the form of an angel. Now, he didn't appear as an angel. It was just in the form of an angel. It looked like one. It was a deceptive way. And said unto me, go and reclaim this people, for they have all gone astray after an unknown God. They need reclaiming. That sounded pretty good to Corey Hoare. Yeah, I'll try it. And he did. And he said unto me, there is no God. Well, yeah, Corey Hoare said that sound pretty good too. There is no God. And he taught me that which I should say. And I have taught his words, and I taught them because they were pleasing unto the carnal mind. See, that's the way it works. And I taught them even until I had much success. He had a following. Insomuch that I verily believed that they were true. Here is a man that once believed in God. The devil deceived him. Why, there is no such thing as a God. He believed him. He went to teaching it and he had a lot of success. He got a lot of followers. Now you see the way the net goes? It's dangerous. And for this cause I withstood the truth even until I have brought this great curse upon me. And so that is kind of a sad situation that this should happen to this man. And I won't go into the rest of his life here. But I would like us to think concerning the devil. He's a clever guy. And the Apostle John, many years ago, had this to say, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. So that is your duty and my duty, to try the spirits whereby we are led. In Matthew 24, 6 and 8, there's a few of these other things it said that would transpire. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And as time unfolds, we continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. But have you noticed there's a little different thinking concerning him now? Most all these wars are religious wars today. Just think upon it for a minute. It's something to be concerned about. That isn't the way true religion should really work, is it? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things have been promised. And I just want you and your memory, and you don't have to have much of a memory, because already we got a flood that surpassed any floods we've had in the United States. And it's still in the process of happening. Less than a year ago, we had a devastating hurricane in Florida that devastated an area, a gigantic one, a storm of the century. And in less than a year, we had this. Then we had a gigantic storm on the East Coast this winter, past about anything they'd seen. And even while I was on the West Coast, I'd been traveling partly on dry roads, and I got to Portland, Oregon. They had the heaviest snow they ever had in February of any year. And I was snowbound an extra day or two. And then we find on farther down on the West Coast that they said, well, it would take 6 or 8 years to fill all these giant reservoirs because of the great drought. In one winter, they were filled and flooding and people losing their homes and all kinds of things. All we got to do is open our eyes. There's a lot taking place. And I've only touched on it. All in a year. And he said these things would be. And earthquakes. You never know when we might have a gigantic earthquake. It would pass anything in modern history. We know some of us of old on this land that changed the whole face of the land. Well, anyway, I'm bringing these things out to show we need to be alert. And pestilences, that could be disease, it could be insects, it could be a lot of things, and famines. And sometimes wonder, in our land of plenty, how could this come about? By a drought? Well, my goodness, we never dreamed it could come about by a flood, though, did we? And again, we may still have plenty this fall. I've heard that if it dries up enough, we still have a pretty good crop. But we haven't seen the end of the year yet. We little know what will take place. I'd like to turn over to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. This is found in verses 25 and 26. We just read about nation rising against nation. I want to do a little more here. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity. Perplexity is uncertainty. Now, can you deny that there isn't a lot of uncertainty upon the face of this earth today? There is plenty. All about us, there is uncertainty. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And nation rising against nation. And you just read that some of our industrial giants like Germany are having problems. Japan's having problems. And I saw a recent comparison. I believe it was in Newsweek of seven of the leaders of seven industrialist nations. None of them even rated half by the people. And alarming as it may seem, we even rated second high. And the Japanese government was the low one. He only had a popularity of 5%. So I guess these people, nation against nation, uncertainty, they don't know where they're going. The only way to go, though, is in Jesus Christ. The way is outlined. If we believe in God and Jesus Christ, we do know with surety that these things can happen. That we can be supported. And like Alma said, I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and in their troubles and in their afflictions and shall be lifted up at the last day. But nowhere did it say there that we wouldn't have any trials or troubles or afflictions. So these are things we should be concerned about. And there shall be wait a second, I read that one. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That is happening. Verse 26. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I've carried around in my Bible, it's 29 years ago, so it's been there a few days. And I might even have another Bible. But some of you here, and only a very few of you, were there when this was given at a Colorado reunion. I know Brother McIndoe and Sister Betty were there and a few others of you, but not many of you were there when this was given. And I've chosen to read it today for your benefit. And this happened to be in an August reunion on August 7th, 1964, and that's 29 years ago, about almost to the day. And it was the interpretation of a tongue that was given through Apostle Thomas E. Barton. And it was given by Apostle T.J. Jordan. My first impression is that we have been given a word of warning. Open your eyes that you may see, and stop your ears that you may hear. For thus saith the Spirit, I have already begun to bring to pass a fulfillment of prophecy already given, showing forth my power in the disasters that are coming upon the peoples of the earth. They shall come from the heavens above and the earth beneath. The elements will be loosed. Even all the elements that I have created. Come ye out of Babylon, O my people, that ye be not a partaker of her plagues. Now we believed that that was spiritual direction there. I still believe it is. It's to us today. 2 days later, Brother Jordan, August 9th, had this experience. I awoke very early this morning amidst the quietness of the home. I lay in quiet meditation, and in the quietness of the home, I presently felt a quiet warning of the Spirit of God. And I may say on the start, I saw no person, I heard no voice, but the warmth of the Spirit bore into my mind the following. Say unto my people, hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But be this known unto you, that in so coming it must be upon the merits and provisions that I have made. You have labored too long midst trying scenes and circumstances, relying upon the imaginations of your own heart and mind, and followed too closely the traditions of men. Seek ye more closely the directives that I have given, and thus return unto me, and I will return unto you, and therein shall be fulfilled the aged promise. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hearken unto the voice of the Good Shepherd. And I thought it was fitting that some of these things, sometime they're just like Scripture. They need to be read again. I'd like to turn to Matthew 24. And this is found in the 12th verse. And I think we're all familiar with this particular verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and it's 1 through 5, and I'm not going to turn to that, but he said, this know that in the last days perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it's said here, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And on down in that same reading, it told of how children be disobedient to parents and there'd be pride and a lot of other things. And then it said there, people would be what? Listen closely. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You can open your eyes and see for yourself. I don't have to try to convince you. Is not it happening in our nation? Is not it happening on the face of the earth? It surely is. Over to verse 21 through 24 in the 24th chapter. For then shall be great tribulation. And I believe the days of tribulation are starting to unfold. And I'm sure that they'll get more perplexed. And I don't know the hour, but I can see the signs. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Because in that other, and I may not have finished reading it over there, and I guess I didn't. I'll read it in a little bit. It's all right. I'll read this. For, and this is the one I already read. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. In verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's what Jesus Christ said. My Father only knows about this. So I couldn't even begin to help. I would know. But I can see the signs. And I want us all to be alert. That's why I've chosen to speak along this line today. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And it says, in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And when they were doing that, it was a day that they were just like we were. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and all this, going about their life. And one day, and I know that this poor old gentleman, Noah, that might seem like he's going to be there forever too, but he was there, and I know he had to have fun poked at him for building a big boat or ship upon dry ground. Now, I'll tell you what. If you start building one on the highest spot in here, and of course we're on part of that highest spot, everybody would say you were crazy. And God saw of the iniquity upon the face of the earth, and the imaginations of the hearts of man was only evil continually. And then on down a little further in that sixth chapter of Genesis, he had this to say. He said, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Now again, open your eyes. And just last night we heard of somebody that had their little child shot in their arms in this area. We hear of drive-by shootings. We hear of people taking lives. And like heard one person, it was happened to be a lady gang member, and they was interviewing her on TV, and they said, well, have you ever killed anybody? Oh, yeah, I probably have. It's just like she'd walked out and pulled a radish out of the garden. That's all it meant to her, you know. Probably have. I probably did. Of course, what she said couldn't be used as evidence against her. And so we're in a different world. And a little over a year ago in our own area there, while I was traveling, my wife come and said, just a mile south of us on the west side of the road, there was a drive-by shooting last night. Shot into five or six houses, and one of the beds they shot over had two or three kids sleeping in it. Didn't hit any of them, but it wasn't their fault. And later they found who did it. It was from a nearby city, 35 or 40 miles away, a city called Elda. And kids were just getting their kicks by going wrong shooting people's houses. And I happen to live on this busy road, and I've replaced my mailbox several times. And the last time somebody went by and beat it all to pieces with a ball bat or iron pipe, and so I had to put a new mailbox up. And I know they do the same things here because I see the evidence of it. They like the violence of it. And it is a strange thing. It is different. It said it would be filled with violence. And I believe that's unfolding. And as my wife watched a recent TV program concerning a TV newscast which said violence in the courthouses. And if you have all been aware, not too long ago, in the last 2 weeks, there was a shooting in Topeka, I believe it was, and several lost their lives. He thinks that's the way to get justice. And all over the land, there is those who are being shot in the courthouses. And one of them in Austin, Texas, it showed the great array of weapons that had taken off people who were coming into the courthouse. They had a whole arsenal on the wall, even rifles and pistols and all kinds of stuff it showed. And some of the judges have chosen to carry pistols on their being or on their desk, they said, for the safety of their courtroom. And I copied down a little bit of this here. It says, this is a different America today. One time, it said, now people do not respect the courts. But at once, the courts were a symbol of justice. And they were a symbol of justice. But this one judge or something said, this is a different America today. Well, where do we look? And I thought a little deeper. Where's all the violence coming from? And if you just start watching some of the little cartoons that children watch when very small, quite a few of them are prone to violence. Is not that true? There's quite a few that have violent things on them. And I've read where these little kids that watch this, when they go to school and things, are more inclined to be of a violent nature. And now we have even further. We got TV games they play. And on these games, bing, bing, I got you, I killed you. Well, part of it is how many you can kill. And I want to ask, how are we training our young people, our little kids and our pre-kindergartners? How has our nation trained them? Along the line of violence? Are we reaping our own shortcomings? It's something to think about. I think we need to be careful. And yet there's some cartoons is good. There's some of these other things is good. But it shouldn't be violence prone. And so many of our TV shows are definitely violent. No wonder we got the problem today. It's viewed by those, and after a while they think that's a normal way of life. And it certainly is not. I would like to turn to 1 Nephi 7. It's found on page 75. And I would like to start to read at verse 32 and just touch upon some of this rather marvelous passage of Scripture. And I'm going to read maybe a little more than I've been reading today. For behold, in verse 32, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. Now that indeed will be a wonderful time. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved, even under the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear. And that's what I want to stress today. The righteous need not fear. It is important that we work upon our personal righteousness. There will come a day, too, when it tells that the saints of God will be armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. Behold, my brethren, on verse 38, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. These things will come, and it must needs be upon the face of the earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh. If it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, which is none other than Jesus Christ. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all who fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people under the fulfilling of the words of Moses. And Moses spoke concerning a prophet that God would raise up. And on down in verse 46 it says, that this prophet of whom Moses spoke was the Holy One of Israel, none other than Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for they are those who should not be confounded. Before I finish reading here, I'd like us to turn over to the sixth chapter of 2 Nephi. It's found on page 110. It's in verse 73 and on down to the end of the page there. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God. It is awful to transgress. And also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. Remember what I read about Corihor. It was an awful situation. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life. So he went on to say, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say I've spoken hard things against you, for if you revile against the truth, for I've spoken the words of your master, and I know the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. But the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. So it is important that we work on our personal righteousness, is it not? Well, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. The way before you is narrow, but it has a rod of iron, the Word of God, which can lead you to the tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God. And Lehi said that the fruit of that tree is desirous to make one happy. Isn't that what we're all questing for, is happiness? The love of God is desirous to make you unhappy, to make you happy. And then he also said he partook of the fruit of that tree and it filled his soul with joy, happiness. And there is none other way, save it is by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. Back again to page 76. And this goes on to tell of the things, and maybe I might as well read it. In verse 49, in verse 48, it says, the righteous need not fear, for they are those who shall not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among those which are in the flesh. So this kingdom of the devil is established in those who are among the flesh or follow the lusts of the world. For the time speedily cometh that all churches which are built up to get gain and all those who are built up to get power over the flesh and those who are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and those who seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world and do all manner of iniquity, yea, and fine, all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil, are they who need fear, tremble, and quake. And so I find these words rather plain. They are those who must be brought low in the dust and be consumed as stubble. And it says, this is according to the words of the prophet Jesus Christ. But this is the nice part I'm coming to. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. What a beautiful condition. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth. And he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. How do you know Jesus Christ? Because you decided to follow him and keep his commandments and do what he said. You know him, and he will know you. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him shall they find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power. Now, is it important or not? Our personal righteousness. Satan one time will have no power because of that. And it says he cannot even be loose for the space of many years. And I believe that's what's spoken of in Revelation's 20th chapter. As among the other things I initially was going to speak on, but there isn't time. I don't want to keep everybody here too long. And he can't be loose for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. One other passage of scripture I'd like to turn to, again, to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to reread a couple of verses I read earlier, and then I'm going to read a bit more, because he was speaking to a people that understood Jesus Christ. I believe it is applicable to us today as well. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, he told them. Why weren't they in darkness? Because they converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ and chose to follow him. And Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Pay attention to the signs. That's why Jesus Christ gave them. Note that it's getting nearer. Ye are the children of light. If you have entered the waters of baptism and received the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands and follow him, you become the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness if we follow Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And that sober means being alert, aware to what is taking place and what is our responsibility. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, now this is right to us now, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. See how our breastplate is? Faith and love, and a helmet of salvation, and the hope of salvation. And didn't Paul say, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of all is charity. And in the book of Moroni, it says that charity is the pure love of Christ. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then he went on to say, pray with all energy of heart that you might be filled with this love, which he's bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that love can be bestowed according to that promise upon all who are the true followers of Jesus Christ. So it is important that we prepare our lives. It is important that we do not allow the cares of this world to overtake us. Even though we're living a part of the world, let's be alert to our time. There's so many marvelous things in store for those that love Jesus Christ and keep his commandments.
Thank you, Marvin. Let me give you a few announcements before we leave. Wednesday night there will be a combined prayer service here at the Temple Lot for both locals. Somebody suggested it start at 7 o'clock. I would assume that's right. The pastor's shaking his head, so we'll make it 7 o'clock. Ministers' conference is also going to begin at 9 o'clock a.m. Wednesday morning. There are some papers back in the back regarding the Missouri Camp for All Ages. I'm going to read just a paragraph. You can pick up a paper for further information. says the Missouri Camp for All Ages will be at Camp Arroyo. It is a private church camp located near Windyville, Missouri. We will have exclusive use of the entire camp. The dates are September 3rd through 6th, Friday evening to Monday morning, Labor Day weekend. And you can contact Rick Olson or Jeff Oldham if you have further questions, or you can pick up one of the papers. I'd like to express, in behalf of all the visitors, the appreciation and the gratitude we have towards everybody here in Missouri for not only putting up with us in your homes, but letting us fellowship with you for these few services that we've had. And including you, Missouri people, we would like to express our gratitude for the kitchen committee that has fed all of us. So we do appreciate that. If you'd like to turn to number 23, yes, sir.